Brian Sotheby, former NHLer, writes at OilersNation.com, joins us once again. Suds, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I am all right. Now, you weren't at the level of LeBron James. No offense. Very few people are. But did you would it have meant something to you to play NHL hockey in Edmonton? Did you ever contemplate it?
Yeah, I always had a vision of a LeBron-like return to Edmonton. Yeah, I mean, it's funny because watching today has kind of brought back some of those feelings of wanting to play in Edmonton. And growing up in Edmonton, it was always a dream and a goal. It was always Mark Messier and Wayne Gretzky in the basement or out on the rink. So that was always something that was a dream of mine. And it's funny, at the NHL draft, the Oilers were picking 18. And I remember wanting to get traded, or sorry, drafted by them like no other. I couldn't wait for it. And then once I actually got passed over and went to Washington and sort of saw the reaction of all my family and friends and people around me, I was sort of actually happy that at least my younger years, I wasn't there. I feel like at times, especially as a young kid, at least for me, everyone's different. You handle situations differently depending who you are, and I think for me it was good, at least in those younger years, to sort of establish myself in the NHL and sort of be away from the scrutiny or the microscope of it all. But later in my career, I definitely wanted to do a Strudwick like return and come back to Edmonton, and unfortunately, it never worked out.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it definitely, when it's a guy like LeBron, who's the best player in the world,
yeah.
I think for those kids, it's even different. But any player who's, when you're in the NHL, like, I always laugh at people who aren't in the NHL and they're like, oh yeah, but he was just a third liner. And I'm like, do you understand how hard it is to be a third liner in the NHL? Like, people really have no clue. And then I find that some people who aren't close actually value their own ability more. I could be as good as him. I'm like, I don't really think you understand it. But, you know, even for being an Edmonton guy who, you know, you go to schools and you talk to kids and they see, wow, Brian Sotheby went to our high school and he went to the NHL. Like, there's a lot of kids who sit in that classroom and suddenly you're like, damn, I might be able to go to the NHL.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what's so cool about what LeBron did today. I mean, it seems like it's bigger than basketball, and he wants to have a greater impact on Cleveland. And I think it's really neat what he did. I know me and you talked about how cool it would be about a month ago. And just for him to – I didn't really like the way that he left. I thought it was fine that he wanted to leave, and his motivation for leaving, obviously the decision and the way he left was a little bit strange, but it's just cool for him to come back. And now that he's got his championships, that he's got that sort of monkey off his back and he's got a few rings, and now he really wants to be a leader and feels like he owes it to the city of Cleveland and to the kids and the fan base to try to give back. And he's a leader. And in basketball, it's a little different than hockey. You can really be that star player. He's the best player in the league. And for the most part in basketball, one player can have a greater impact. So it's really neat for him to think about that and have that goal and be that driven to want to give back to those kids and where he grew up.
Brian Sotheby joins us. And from that note, we transfer to the Kane and Taves signing. Two great players, no argument about it. But they're now $21 million combined starting in 15-16 if the cap goes to $75 million, if. That's 28% for two players. In the game of hockey, Brian, and unless they revert back to where the third and fourth line guys are making a mil to a mil and a half, I don't see how a team can win by having two guys tied up like that with that much of your cap hit gone.
Yeah, it's definitely going to make it a lot harder. They are two excellent players. They've obviously proven they can win. But one of the great things that Chicago has had is depth and the ability to sign guys like Patrick Sharp or Marian Hossa to huge contracts as well. And let's not forget about their back end, the two studs on the back end. And then, you know, to have Chalmerson and guys like Oduya. And the depth. I mean, you have to draft well. In this day and age in a cap, you have to have guys that are young, that are going to be able to come up and play for cheap in the minors. But when guys like Saad and these guys end up signing big tickets, I think next year they have about $65 million committed to 14 players right now. So it's going to be tough for them long term to continue on with what they're doing right now. I still like their chances in terms of the guys they do have locked up. The guys that they are investing in are very good players. They seem like guys that are still motivated. Johnny Toews, Mr. Serious. I mean, I don't think the money's gonna go to his head and he's gonna just stop working. So the culture is there to have a leader like him and bring guys in around them that hopefully can support them. But with money tied up like that, like you said, it is going to be very tough. And it's going to be interesting to see who they have to move out, who they end up bringing in the next couple of years to have a sporting cast.
Well, I think it's going to be very difficult. Just because, you know, they do have a break in Duncan Keith kind of on that old contract. His cap hit's only $5 million, so that's a break for them. But I'm very curious to see what they do. And the other question is flat out, Ryan, in a game, like, I understand the two-way factor in hockey. It's talked about now maybe more than ever. Jonathan Toews has had 70 points once, right? Mm-hmm. Are his intangibles really that – like, are they that valuable that this is a guy who makes more than, like, the elite point getters in the league?
Yeah, you make a good point. I mean, you just see a guy like Brandon Dubinsky signed for 5.8, too. I think that at some point teams, GMs, scouts, the guys in that dressing room, they value that stuff. They value the guys that can raise their level of play in the playoffs. They value your importance and your ability to lead and pull guys in the right direction in the dressing room and motivate guys and get guys to play the right way. I mean, it's not always about the guy that scores 95 points. I mean, Alex Ovechkin scores 55 goals a year, and the team has not been able to get past the first or second round and lately not been able to make the playoffs. So it is very important to have guys that you are going to build around that are going to provide the right culture and the right leadership to younger guys and know that they're coming in. And Jonathan Toews is apparently that guy, much like a Dubinsky, that there has to be something there that if you're handing out that kind of money to guys that are more two-way guys or well-rounded guys, there's got to be more there that they're valuing.
Brian Sutherby joins us. The Columbus Blue Jackets, Brian, I think they're going to get Ryan Johansson to a deal based because he has no leverage. Him and his agent can fight all they want, but as the season gets closer, they realize that, you know, they got no arbitration rights. It's already gone, of course. Like, they got nothing. You know, this kid's not going to the KHL. We all know that. So, you know, Columbus likely probably does the same thing Montreal did to Subban and make the kid have a bridge deal, which will probably fire him up to want to play even better. You look at their middle now with him and Dubinsky and Anisimov. You know, they got Horton in there. You know, Columbus has a pretty good team. When you look at the East, is it ridiculous to think that Columbus could maybe be top three or four team in the East next year?
I don't think it is. I was looking at them earlier today, and I like what they've done. You saw them last year. They're a team that is on the rise, and they gave Pittsburgh a really good run this year in the playoffs. And I think that's a huge thing in terms of just Dubinsky getting the contract that he did. I mean, you saw the way that he played. You saw the intensity and how he went at Sidney Crosby. And the guy plays that way all the time. He's a gamer. He's not a huge guy, but he's a guy that sort of drives some emotion and plays a two-way physical game, and that makes guys around them want to do a little bit more. And I still think the contract's a little heavy, but obviously they see value there. But when you look at their team, you look at what they're building, their back end is solid, and they have guys down the middle, as you mentioned, which you need in this league. They've got solid goaltending, and they're starting to build a team that can maybe compete with a Boston in terms of size. I mean, Johansson doesn't play physical, but he's a big kid. They've got guys like Dubinsky, Hartnell, Nathan Horton, if he can ever get healthy. Nick Foligno's not a small guy or scared. Boone Jenner's a young guy that comes up and plays that two-way sort of playoff-style hockey that you need. So they're building a culture there that is sort of fun to watch and really almost geared to a playoff style that I wouldn't be shocked at all to see them climb up into the 3-4 spot next year at all.
Brian Sutherby joins us. One last one for you, Suds. I know you're down in Anaheim, and I'm not sure if you've bumped into him or not. Dustin Penner is still a free agent. Who do you think signs him?
Oh, great question. I don't have any inside scoop for you yet. So I don't know. I mean, obviously, Penner kind of a lot like Heatley in the sense that I think he's sort of in the twilight right now, but a guy that teams still, I wouldn't be shocked at all if they throw a million at him. He's a big body. He's a guy that can still chip in from time to time. And But I really don't know. I couldn't tell you. I got nothing. No interesting inside stuff for you right now.
Yeah, but he's likely getting a Heatley deal, though, right? Like a one-year, million-dollar deal?
I would think so. I mean, at this point, you know, he's just at that stage of his career. He has to have a year that is going to be a real bounce-back type year if he's ever going to be signing a two- or three-year deal at this point. And this is what happens with a lot of guys as they get older and sort of into the twilight of their career. And after you have a couple down years, there's teams that are going to take a shot on you, give you a one-year deal, a one-year offer, try to get the most out of you, hope that you're motivated, and maybe they get lucky. And I'm sure someone he'll end up somewhere. I'm not worried about that.
And quickly, who's your winner in the World Cup on Sunday?
Oh, I'm going Germans. How can you not?
Of course. How can you not? So I picked from day one because I'm German. I said we'd win, and everybody laughed at me. And now we're one game away. Although that Messi character does, you make one mistake with that guy around the ball and could definitely end up in the back of your net. That's the only concern.
That is true. Very true.
Enjoy the weekend, Suds. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, big guy. Thank you.